Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
This broadcast of Home and Family Finance originally aired January 29th of this year.
Oh, yeah, we love the council, we love the military, we love our audience. Heck, I'm just in love with all of you on a beautiful day here in the nation's capital. We hope it's nice wherever you may be. And we have a great show today. You know, we're just some 30 days now away from the start of this new year, 2017. And if I haven't already wished you a happy new year, let me do it now again. Happy new year, 2017. May it be the best year ever, and may you be totally financially fit. Now, you know, I begin every program reminding you of that. What is financially fit? Well, it means that as this year folds out, you're making the right decisions about your family, your home, your finances. And in part, the best thing that you can possibly do is to make sure that you are financially fit. And what is that? What do we mean by that? Well, I mean that I want you to have a few things in order. First of all, I want you to make more than you spend. And you know what I'm talking about. Make more than you spend. Because if you're spending more than you make, you're borrowing money, you're not feeling good about yourself, and you're in debt. And in debt is no place to be. I also want you to have what I call survival funds and emergency funds. 6 months of survival funds. Add up everything it costs you to live every month. Everything. All of it. Gas. I don't care what. Electricity. Rent. Now, I want you to start saving that amount. And I know it's not easy to do. But I want you to save that until you have 6 months in your savings account. Not to be touched. It can be an account that creates some interest for you. That's fine. But can't touch it. It's yours. It's there. You know that if something happens to you, you're going to be okay. And then an emergency fund keeps you from borrowing from your survival fund. I want you to have 3 months of whatever number you think you need to just in case something comes up. Have that set aside. And again, not to be touched either, but there for you. You can be a little bit more flexible with that, okay? And finally, I want you to promise that you're going to save at least 5% of everything you make starting right now. 5% of your weekly or monthly income or whatever you get, any income that comes into your door, make sure that 5% of it goes into your savings account, again, not to be touched. You're going to thank me at the end of the year when you do that, okay? That's being financially fit. Now, I know that you probably, like me, decided that the start of the year was the better time to take to go on a diet. And I'm trying to make it through. And today's show is going to deal with food and with eating. And we're going to start with Stephanie Wilson, who is known as Coupon Mom. She's been here before. And she's got some interesting things to talk to you about that I think may be helpful to you if you're shopping. Who doesn't? She's had more than 7 million people join her at her website in terms of being members. She gives members access to the thousands of printable coupons for groceries. And she has lots of things that she can help you with. But she also has some warnings in terms of how you should go about this business. And I want to welcome her. I think she's in Atlanta. Where are you? Where are you, Stephanie?
That's right. I'm in Atlanta. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate that.
Well, you're fun to have on the show. And, of course, you have a real basic message for folks that they can make a difference in their lives by being smart about what they do. And I wanted to, there are about several points that you had associated with saving. Are people still saving coupons?
Actually, yes. People are still using grocery coupons. The good news is that there are far more ways to get free coupons than there used to be. I think the traditional way to get coupons 20 years ago was from the Sunday newspaper.
That's right.
Today, you still get coupons from the Sunday paper, but you can also print them from your computer. You can get them on your phone. There are all these neat apps that are free. And I really want to go to the point that you made a couple of minutes ago, how important it is for people to have an emergency fund. But the challenge with saving a 6 month emergency fund is, where am I going to find extra cash to save? How am I going to save 5% out of my
budget?
Point
well taken.
So I will say, when I first started what I call strategic shopping 20 years ago, I started our website 16 years ago to teach this to people. The whole idea was not just about how do you use coupons, how do you save money, but the whole idea was, how am I going to feed my family of four a healthy diet on this very strict grocery budget, because at the time my objective was to be able to stay home with my little children.
Right.
And that meant I really had to budget. So what I want to do is help people do that, but I want to make it very easy for them. And so, you know, a couple of quick tips. How do you find, and I'm going to propose that a family of four could realistically save $100 a week on their groceries if they learned how to be a strategic shopper.
Are you listening, audience? He just said $100 a week. Go ahead. Go ahead, Stephanie.
$100 a week. It's a couple of things. One is it's learning how to plan your shopping. This is a really simple tip, but this is going to save you hundreds of dollars a year. It's simply called plan your meals, plan what you're going to be eating during the week, and use the store sales ad to plan those meals around what's on sale that week. Stock up on the key items when they're on sale. I'm going to give you an example. Boneless chicken breast is a key item for our family.
Right.
It can be $5 a pound. It can go down to $2 a pound every other week. So our strategy has always been to buy 2 weeks' worth of chicken on the week that it's on sale, never pay full price. On the full price week, I've got it in my freezer. That simple strategy for our family saves $450 a year on one item without even using a coupon. But I'm just being smart about how I buy it. You can apply that same concept to a number of items that you buy on a regular basis. So the key is knowing what the prices are. Pay attention.
Right.
Go to the store. Track just a few of your key items prices over a few weeks, and also check a couple of stores.
And if I hear you correctly, what you seem to be saying is no more of this ad lib ad hoc shopping. Plan out what you're going to do and use the apps that are available to make a difference.
That's right. Use the, you know, if you go to a regular grocery store, get their app on your phone. You're going to find that for most grocery stores, you can even add coupons to your store loyalty card with the app. You can be shopping in the store. You see something on sale, go to the app, see if there's a coupon. Probably will be.
Hey, folks, are you listening to Stephanie Nelson here? Are you listening? $100 a week by doing some proper things. When we come back, we'll get some other tips from her. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, on the Radio America Network.
Want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about, or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
This broadcast of Home and Family Finance originally aired January 29th of this year.
My guest is Stephanie Nelson of Coupon Mom. You can find her at couponmom.com. And we're pleased to be talking with her. She's telling you now some tips that would make a difference, including using apps to help you make healthier choices. What else is on your list, Stephanie?
Well, we talked about strategic shopping. And strategic shopping is really about combining sales prices with store promotions, coupons, and believe it or not, we've got a new layer now called cashback apps. So putting all these deals together is actually pretty complicated, and that's what couponmom.com does. It's our website. We've done it for 16 years. We aggregate all of the best coupons and deals for 60 store chains across the country. And
wow.
What people do is they go, they find their store, and we just have a list of the very best deals, and we give you specific instructions on where to find the coupon. And if you want to get, you know, free shampoo or free crackers or whatever the deal is that week,
mm-hmm.
we'll tell you where to get it and suggest that you buy a few of those items.
What does it cost me to join you? Anything? I mean, is it just
it's my favorite price. It's free. It always has been.
Okay, very good.
I mean, the idea is that we want to make it possible for families to save $100 a week on their groceries and household items.
And that's not pie in the sky. That's doable, right? If you do this right, you can save that amount of money.
Absolutely. I mean, if the typical family is... Yeah, I mean, and if you spend less than $200 a week on groceries, which would be pretty amazing for a family
of four.
These times, just expect that you should see at the bottom of your receipt every single week 50% savings by using strategic shopping. The other thing I'll recommend, Paul, and this is not shameless promotion.
Right.
I poured my heart and soul into writing a book called The Coupon Mom's Guide to Cutting Your Grocery Bills in Half a few years ago.
Right, right.
And it's everything about not just coupons. It's about how to plan meals and how to find the least expensive prices for healthy items and all everything I knew as a mom of 23 years.
It's all there in black and white, right?
And I'll tell you what, you can buy it on Amazon used, okay, for $3.99, including shipping.
Okay, what's the name of the book again? Give it to us.
It's called The Coupon Mom's Guide to Cutting Your Grocery Bills in Half. So you can, and so I say go to Amazon, go to the used section. They got a long list of books. Some are 1 cent, but you pay $3.99 for shipping. So $3.99 was the lowest price. It'll be the best $3.99 you ever spent.
Let me ask you about another issue, and that's I hear it all the time. I'm spending all this money, and I would say, but I have to have organic food because that's just such a difference. It makes a difference. Is this organic food kick? Is that a real deal? I mean, are people getting ripped off? What's going on here?
It's a real deal selectively. So, for example, studies have shown that the most popular organic food items are as organic produce. That's the most important food category to folks who prefer organic items.
Right.
And within that category, the Environmental Working Group is a group that gives direction on organic food choices. And they came up with a list of what's called the Dirty Dozen. These are produce items that actually absorb quite a bit of pesticides. So if you're going to go organic, it makes sense to spend the extra money for these items. For example, apples, bell peppers, strawberries, carrots. But don't waste your money buying what they call it the Clean 15. These are produce items that absorb very little pesticide. So you can go ahead and feel okay buying the regular, what do they call it, conventionally grown produce. And that includes cabbage, asparagus, tomatoes, broccoli, sweet potatoes. You shouldn't have to buy everything organic, but if you selectively buy some items and then you save money in other areas, you can still reduce your total grocery spending and still buy the organic produce.
The best of both worlds. Her name is Stephanie Nelson. She is the Coupon Mom. You can find her at her website. And folks, look, that's why she's here, because she makes a difference. She can save you money. Stephanie, thanks so much for being with us. I know there's so much more that you can tell us. If people want to reach out to you, what's your website again?
It's couponmom.com. It's absolutely free. And thank you so much for having me on. It's been a lot of fun.
This broadcast of Home and Family Finance originally aired January 29th of this year.
Okay, it's now almost at the end of January, folks, or thereabout, and you've been on a diet now for the last month? Okay, wait a minute. I've been on this diet. I am telling you, I've been on a diet since January 1st, nearly 1 month. I've stuck to the diet, but you know what? The first week, it was great. I was like 14, 15 pounds. And now it's the scale's not moving very much, and I'm starving. I'm hungry as can be right now as I talk to you. So what to do? Well, my guest, Meg Miranis, who's an author of a book, and she'll tell you about that in just a minute. It says, "Diets breed rebellion. Following oppressive food rules only fuels the inevitable rebellion or revolution." And I'm in a revolutionary mood right now. Food Freedom interviews Meg Miranis, who is the author of Diets Are Fattening, Build Your Healthy Thin Mentality Instead, along with a companion workbook. She has 20 years of experience as a fitness trainer and weight loss center manager. She knows the diet industry.
That sounded good.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for what you've written and for joining us here. What's going on with us?
When you look at our culture, it is a diet culture. And anytime anyone feels that they need to lose weight, the message that dieting is the way to do it is just, it permeates our society. I mean, it's everywhere. So, of course, that's what you think you should do. I mean, it's not only the media, it's your mother, your spouse, your daughter, everyone. Yeah, go on a diet. This diet's the best. That diet's the best. But what everyone is missing, or most people, I should say, are missing, is that the actual way you lose weight influences whether or not you're ever going to be able to keep that weight off. And I hate to tell you, because I know you're on one or have been on one for the last couple of weeks, but you know, over 95% of people regain the weight back, you know, within not so long of a time. I know, and if we all just focused on not just the weight loss, because that's the glamorous fun part. You know, people compliment you, you buy new clothes, you twirl around in front of your mirror, you feel great. But that's not the whole story. You know, in my book and website, I focus on what I call the after-after picture.
Okay.
So you have the before picture, the person's unhappy. Then you have the after picture, where they've lost some weight. And then you have the true after picture, where they've actually gained the weight back and more.
The formula for weight loss success didn't have very much to do with food. It has to do with attitude. Am I getting that right?
Well, we all have to eat, so it does have to do with food, but it has to do with your relationship with food. And what dieting does, and I speak from experience of 25 years myself of being a dieter, so I know the diet mentality very, very
okay.
well. So when you have a diet mentality, you end up having a kind of a hateful relationship with food or a fearful relationship with food. And, you know, we need to eat. You can't just go cold turkey and never eat again.
Right, right.
You need to have a nice, healthful relationship with food that allows, if you would like to lose weight, that allows you to work with your body, with your amazing, strong body that gives you hunger, which is, I hate to say it, a gift. I mean, that's a wonderful thing that we have hunger that we can satisfy. It's
mm-hmm.
a true pleasure. But instead, we fear hunger. We try to avoid hunger. And when we're hungry on a diet, our body is screaming at us that, hey, what are you doing to me? And, you know, it's actually a very powerful, wonderful thing that our bodies do for us. But you got to handle it. Going on a diet just magnifies the problem.
So restrictive eating, in effect, may, in fact, not solve the problem, but complicates or increases the problem.
You've hit the nail on the head, and this is not just me speaking. I mean, this is in the New England Journal of Medicine and in another lady who kind of says what I say, but she's a neuroscientist, so I always like to mention her because I'm not a neuroscientist, and her name is
right.
Sandra Amodt. It's spelled A-A-M-O-D-T.
Okay.
She does it in a more technical way than I do, and she highlights the problem, and I'm trying to highlight the problem in my book, but my workbook tries to take you through how to heal that relationship. So when you've asked if I'm saying dieting complicates the problem, 100% yes,
mm-hmm.
it makes mm-hmm. it worse.
Let me ask about, everybody says you got to exercise. Does exercise play an important part in all of this or no?
Exercise is great for your health, right? We all know that you kind of feel better. Moving is good for you. That's common sense approach to exercise. Is a wonderful thing. But what I worked in the fitness industry for years, and what I can tell you I saw firsthand is that you can do a whole lot of exercise and not change your body. And since most people who exercise in general, most people are looking for a smaller waist or, you know, more muscles in a certain part of their body, et cetera, you can do weightlifting to build muscle, but to spot reduce is not possible. I mean, unless you do liposuction or something
right,
like
right.
that.
You're just not going to do it. Let me take a break, because I'm going to tell you right now my concern. I'm in the fourth week of this diet, Meg. You got to tell me what to do next. This is Home and Family Finance. We're talking about the diet you're on as well, okay? We're in it together, folks. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This broadcast of Home and Family Finance originally aired January 29th of this year.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
My guest is Meg Miranda. She's author of Diets Are Fattening, Build Your Healthy Thin Mentality Instead, along with a companion workbook that she has. She has 20 years of experience as a fitness trainer and weight loss center manager. So she's just the right person that I should talk to on your behalf, folks, because you, like me, are now in your fourth week or coming up on your fourth week of the diet, okay? And you've had some success, but you're hungry as hell, okay? And, you really want to get to something good. You want to feel better. So, Meg, what should I do? Do I continue on my diet? What's the proper steps to take here to have a successful, make this effort successful?
Well, yes, I've given you all the bad news so far. The good news is that there is a way out of the diet mentality that you're in. And I hate to say it, but my belief is that, yes, you should get off your diet because, unless your physician is giving you some special orders,
yeah,
of course.
Right. And most of us are voluntary. We haven't been to it. We'll tell everybody else, oh, yeah, the doctor says. That's not true. We just jumped on it because we're fat as a pig and we want to lose weight. Okay? I mean, let's face it.
Right. So what you need to do is release that thought in your head that you will ever, ever, ever go on a diet again. You need to build trust back between your body, which you have abused by dieting, and your conscious self. So
I think I'm in love with you. Keep going. Just keep going.
Right. And instead of, like right now, people who diet fear their bodies. They don't trust their bodies. They feel like they need some little rule list from some celebrity to tell them what to eat. And if you really think about how demeaning that is to us, that's another bad aspect of it. You need to gain your own control, your own power, and your own preferences for what you like to eat and when, because they're legitimate. You know, we are all born slightly different, needing slightly different things, and if you don't listen to your body's voice, nobody else will. So my workbook, Diets Are Fattening, the companion workbook, and my book, available on my website of the same name, lead you through the first 12 weeks of how to ditch your diet mentality and build a healthy, thin mentality instead. And, you know, I personally went through this myself. I can tell you it is the very best gift you will ever give yourself, ever. And your clothes will fit 10 years now from now. Like, I've been a healthy, thin mentality person now for 16 years. I was a dieter for 25. And there's no comparison with the life I live now with regard to food and in the past.
But, Meg, how can you do this to me when you're hungry, when cake is so delicious and I want that cake that I shouldn't, that doesn't do me any good? So I guess what's the first step to reshaping, you think, of food?
Yes, well, right, and we have a good food, bad food mentality. I love cake. I eat cake. The key is that your diet, your history of dieting or your present diet makes you think that you're an out-of-control eating machine and that if you were allowed cake, you would eat the whole thing. I mean, I used to do that.
I would.
Yeah. So you think you would because you look at yourself based on your behavior post-diet.
Okay.
And that is not your true self.
Right.
And the strange thing is it's not actually strange at all. It's human nature. You want the forbidden fruit, right?
Right.
So when you say to yourself, if I want cake, I can have cake. The only caveat is I have to wait for hunger.
Ah.
But when you're hungry, if cake is what you want, eat cake.
But only when you're hungry, not because it's just there. If I get you, in other words, okay, eat when you're hungry, when your body says, isn't that amazing? That's so simple, but you know what? And you're right, I don't. You know, you walk in and somebody offers you food, and for some reason, you feel like you got to eat some of it. You don't have to eat that. You can just say, you know, I'm not hungry right now. Golly,
I'm sorry.
That makes such perfect sense.
Yeah, I've got lots of strategies to help in specific situations like that. And another thing I just wanted to alert your listeners to who might be hearing this and think, wow, that sounds like something for me. We have a Facebook page with over 44,000 people, and we also have a private Facebook group so you can get support from fellow people who are going through this on a private site so you don't see this all over your own news feed because who needs that, right?
Right. Now, is it necessary? I hear you talking about, you know, I know Oprah's there doing her weight loss thing and everybody, but your point is that all of that's fine and dandy, but that's not the most effective way or the only way that you can be in control of yourself.
Right. And as much as I respect Oprah in so many ways, I think she's got this one wrong. I know she's got this one wrong. And it's just think how interesting it is that we would hold her up as a role model for weight control. I mean, you know.
She's a fat little devil. It's been that way all of her life. It's true.
And
she really is.
Yeah.
You're right.
And the up and down. And, you know, again, I know, you know, she's a great person. But, gosh, don't trust your diet or your health to someone who clearly has not been able to do that for herself. I know she was thinner now, but I also think Oprah deserves a thin mentality as well. And I wish she would hear this and say, wait, maybe all this life of stress and rules, maybe that's really in an ironic way hurting me.
Well, you know, it's certainly your point is well taken because we watched her go up and down like a yo-yo in terms of her weight. And I'm not making fun. I love her dearly.
Sure.
But she's tried and failed. And what you're simply saying is it's within each of us to be able to control our weight and to lose weight.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to put it. And the only word I don't like there is control, because control is kind of a diet word. It's more that you open back your relationship between food and hunger. And it is your hunger is your best friend. It is your best friend. And we fight it when we're dieters. You know, we go to bed hungry and wake up early and go see how much we weigh. And,
yeah.
And I mean, by the way, I advocate absolutely no weighing. And that's a scary one to people. But if you go on my website, I'll tell you why.
Okay. And again, let's get that information again. Your website is?
Dietsarefattening.com.
Okay. And your book is?
Diets Are Fattening.
Okay. Oh, that's
and
great.
The companion workbook, they're both available on the, my website, and the book is on Kindle as well.
Okay. How much time are we left in the segment? Are we out of it? Okay. Okay. Next time I have you on the show, I want you again to explain to me the importance of exercise and how we can make it work. My guest has been Meg Moranis. Go get her book, folks, and read. You know, get off the diet. Get off all that other stuff you're doing. I'm going to do it as of today, Meg. Thank you for being on the program.
Thank you.
You bet. Coming up next, we're going to talk with James Lardner over at that important issue of saving, all important. Stay with us. Home and Family Finance. I'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
This broadcast of Home and Family Finance originally aired January 29th of this year.
I really want to thank Meg Moranis for being with us. You should pick up her book, I think. I think it's, you know, of all the things I've talked to you about, and of course being financially fit, being physically fit, what she says to us is so important. And I thought about it, is that, you know, I'm on this diet so that I can lose weight quickly. And then go back to how I was eating before. And that's what you're doing, right? You're going to go back to the other way of all the other bad habits. But it's so simple. Eat when you're hungry. Eat only when you're hungry. You know, how simple is that? I think I could do that. And so I'm not going to go off my diet. I'm just going to go back to a pattern of eating the right way. And with me is a guy that's not here to talk about, but you know what? He's a foreign military man, he's still a military guy, and once you're a military man, you are always that. He's going to talk about saving in just a minute, and I'd like to welcome him to the show. James, welcome back. James is the he is the guy that every year comes on our program. James Lander, Military Saves Director. How many times have you heard me talk about military saving? My goodness. Okay, and there's a reason for that. And obviously, a great deal of my audience is in the military around the world, and to all of you out there, we say hello and thank you for your service. James is here to talk about an important part of that, which is saving dollars. But James, before we get to saving dollars, let's talk about saving pounds. You said something to me in the introduction here when I talked to you earlier, and that you don't have to diet. You're one of those people that your metabolism, you don't diet, do you?
No, Paul, I don't. And one of the things that I said is I don't feast. I tend to graze. And so, as you said, I eat when I'm hungry. And portion control, which is something I learned in the military, really sort of helped me maintain a steady weight. I joined the military right after high school and went to school. And I was 150 pounds. And 23 years later, I was 180 pounds. And some
wow.
of that was just the evolution. But I didn't have big fluctuations, which was great.
And it was always that way for you. I mean, you never had to, say, oh, God, I'm 50 pounds overweight and go on a diet. You never had to do that, did you?
No, I didn't. And the you know, we all have our physical insecurities and things we'd like to change about ourselves. And one of the things I always was self-conscious about is I have skinny arms. And so wearing short sleeves in the military always made me self-conscious. So
isn't it interesting things affect us that, you know, that nobody knows unless we're willing to say it. And we all have these idiosyncrasies about ourselves, don't we?
Exactly, and I think that, as you said, if we focus on a lifestyle, that is where we gain the most personal satisfaction, and physically we feel better about ourselves.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about that with James, but folks, the point that I want you to hear is that if you're on a diet right now, I don't know, who am I to tell you to get off your diet? I mean, I'm overweight, you know, and I've done it wrong, but I heard something for the first time today. Not that I didn't intellectually understand it, but I hadn't thought about it in a practical sense. You know, and I'm doing that kind of subconsciously, even on this diet. I'm starting to eat when I'm, rather than go through periods, the first time I did this, I starved. As a matter of fact, 2 days a week, you eat nothing. You eat nothing. You just drink a little bit of juice. Now, do you lose weight? Of course. But who's going to spend the rest of their life eating nothing for 2 days a week? I'm not going to do that. So I get it, and I want you to get it. Change your style. You know, eat when you're hungry. Don't make dieting a weekly event or a month. Change the way you eat for the rest of your life and say, okay, I'm going to eat when I'm hungry. As you just heard James say, I don't binge. I don't pig out. You know, you just kind of, when you get a little something, eat a little something and get on with it. And by the way, the other part of that is exercise. For a lot of reasons, you need to get out there and just walk. If you just walk a mile and a half a day, just physically get out there and walk. And James, do you exercise?
I do, and so I'm a bike rider, so that's how I tend to. And yoga, I love yoga. Paul, you got to try yoga. It's about not just stretching your body, but resting your mind sometimes, which is also helpful.
Well, and that's true. Is it really true? I hear people who are yoga experts or enthusiasts say that it is a great way to rest your mind and think through things. I guess that's what we should all be doing, right?
Exactly.
James, you're not here to be talking about diets. What the heck are you doing, man? You're here for another different reason. Tell me about your agency. Who are you working with?
Well, Military Saves, again, thank you so much, and we really appreciate the support we get from your program and the folks at the Defense Council, Defense Credit Union Council. They have been tremendous supporters and partners of Military Saves, which runs, of course, every year. Our campaign starts on the January 1st and runs through the 31st of December. And Military Saves Week is our official, unofficial kickoff of the campaign year. We start tallying pledges online at militarysaves.org January 1st, but the sort of official week that we recognize and ask people to get involved and really focus on the savings is Military Saves Week, which this year is February 27th through March 4th. And that is where there will be a lot of activities and events focused around savings happening on installations worldwide.
Okay. And, you know, what a wonderful way to remind our service members, male, female, wherever they are in the world, of the importance of saving. And your theme is set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. All of that is right there within their capability. In other words, they can go to installation on base wherever they are and get themselves get themselves heading toward being financially fit as well as physically fit.
Absolutely. And this is something, Paul, as we talk about our physical bodies, our finances is something that is a lifestyle. We have to live within our means, and sometimes savings is just putting some money aside and deferring gratification for a little bit later. And one of the things that we ask folks to do is to take the pledge to save, and that pledge is a pledge to themselves. It doesn't obligate them to anyone other than themselves to identify a goal that they want to achieve and to save towards that. And something new this year, Paul, that we're really excited about.
All right, hold on to that. Let me take a break, come back. James Lander is my guest, Military Saves Director. We're talking to the military, but of course we're talking to you folks. You know that. When we come back, we'll break all of this out in such a way and hear what's new with James. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
This broadcast of Home and Family Finance originally aired January 29th of this year.
You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we ask you the question, are you financially fit? Are you saving? Are you doing what you should be doing? Are you eating properly? You know, we're in it together, folks, and it seems to me that we ought to care about each other enough to say, hey, what's going on in your life? Certainly, the military cares about you that much for their members. And, of course, their members are our sons and daughters and husbands and wives and children. Okay, we sometimes talk about it as if we're talking about some strategic, strange entity over there. They're us, the military, and the people that we share with, the people that are protecting us around the world are us, our kids, our people, our sons and daughters. No one knows that any more than Military Saves, than James Lander, who was the Military Saves Director. Each year they run this program. where they emphasize to their military members the importance of savings. Now, you heard me start the show this day, as I do every day, reminding you to be financially fit, and that is to save at least 5% of everything you ever make. Starting now, don't let a week go by that you don't put aside 5%. You know what? If you do that, I promise you that you're going to call me and say, Paul, thank you so much. You know, I thought I couldn't do it. I can do it. I can find 5%. I can put that away. I just don't want to do it because it means I got to deny something. Well, deny something. Because down the road, folks, let me tell you what's going to happen. In a year, 2 years, 5 years, you're going to be amazed at how much you have saved. And there's another part of this. And until you get there, you don't know what that is. What it feels like to have your money in your bank, in your account, that you have money saved, that's yours. Nobody can touch it but you. It is a wonderful feeling. It is just a wonderful feeling. James, that's true with the savings accounts. When these military members save money wherever they might be and come home with a nice nest egg, they're happy campers, aren't they?
Oh, they absolutely are. It's so funny. They see how putting money away automatically, dedicating, and deliberately allows them to have a nice little nest egg when it's time to return from deployment or overseas, or even after a couple months when they're saving for something that they have identified as a big item that they'd like to purchase, like a vehicle.
Right. And that you don't have to go get a loan for it. You don't have to go find somebody to loan you money and then negotiate how much money they're going to take from the money that they loan you, because you have to pay interest. Your own money, you don't pay interest on that, you get paid interest. It's just such a simple thing, and we don't do it because we just don't have the discipline. But I know the idea of this program, which is, again, the week is February 27th through March 4th. That's Military Saves Week. And, of course, the whole year in 2017, you're in it, so you should be doing this. Now, you said you had some surprises or something changed. What's going on?
Well, this year, Paul, what we're really excited about is something new we've added to the pledge form. We added text messaging options. There's a reminder service that we have installed so that when you take the Military Saves Pledge, at the bottom of the page, you have an option to get text message reminders on payday to remind you to save for your goal. We want to encourage folks when they get paid to remember, you said you wanted to save to buy that big item. Here's a little reminder about it. And, Paul, you know, you and I are of a different generation, and the younger folks, they don't communicate via email as much as we do.
Yeah, that's right.
So text messaging is a new way and an interactive way for us to engage with them.
James, that's a great idea. And I know that there's been a change to the federal retirement system, what's called the blended retirement system, which takes effect next year. What is that?
Now, the blended retirement system will be a completely different way in which service members and federal employees save for retirement. The new system will come into effect January 2018, next January. But this whole year, Military Saves is focused on educating folks about the blended retirement system, what their options are, and the best way to develop a good savings behavior so that they can not just save for retirement, but save for emergencies. But we're really excited about pushing out information that has been vetted, and that way folks don't have to worry about being sold anything. They can get trusted information off of MilitarySaves.org.
That's wonderful. If somebody out there says, okay, I want to make sure I'm part of this program, what do they have to do?
Well, the first thing we want them to do, Paul, is to go to MilitarySaves.org. That's www.MilitarySaves.org. Sign up to take the pledge, and make sure you enter your telephone number to get text message reminders, but you'll also get emails, and we will keep you up to date on all the things going on with the blended retirement system. We have saving things throughout the year, and so we're really excited about engaging with people from now through the end of the calendar year.
James Lander, always a pleasure. How come I feel so much better after I talk to you? I think because you always hear someone say the right thing. Save, folks. It's what it's all about. We'll talk to you again before this campaign is over. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. It's a pleasure being with you today. Hope you've enjoyed what we've talked about. And come back and see us again, same time, same place, next week. Bye now.